Over the last week, as I have struggled with today's gospel, and I mean struggled, one of our sacred stories from Genesis has been my constant companion. That story is about Jacob wrestling at the river Jabbok. He wrestles all night with a holy figure. Some believe that figure is God, some an angel. The wrestling match is lengthy and amicable rather than intense and violent. And it ends with personal change rather than victory. It ends in a stalemate. Jacob is renamed Israel by his opponent and blessed, and he is also struck on the hip by the same opponent and walks with a limp. From that moment forth, he walks forward as Israel to be the father of a great people to bear his name. His holy struggle has changed his identity forever. This is where I am with today's gospel. I may not have come to terms with it, and I may never, but I do believe if we let it, it has the potential to change us. Jesus is still on his way to Jerusalem. He's getting closer, and the crowds are growing greater in number. People have heard of him. They're flocking to him. They're gathering, and they're following. We can guess that some people are there for very thoughtful reasons, and some are probably there for superficial. And it seems time to begin to take a personal inventory of why are you following Jesus. And so it is within that crowd that Jesus speaks the words that we hear today. He says, to follow me, you must hate your mother, your father, your family. Cue the shock. He follows with pick up your cross. And remember, at this time, Jesus had not died on a cross. He had not risen. At this time, to die on a cross is the most shameful way to die as a criminal. He says, determine the personal cost of following me, and if you have enough. And oh, by the way, get rid of all your possessions. Only then can you follow me. Not one of these words is easy. To really hear them requires us to wrestle with what he's trying to say. And the first place of challenge, at least for me, was the word hate. It is a small relief to look back at the original word and understand that it indicates preference or allegiance in action rather than the emotional response that we have to hate. Jesus is requiring his followers to put him first before family. In fact, Jesus is saying, put me before your family, your life, your possessions, basically anything and everything that creates your identity. Measure that cost and see if you have enough. And so our question to struggle with becomes, does your identity as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, define you? This is a deep question. And I realize that I'm standing here wearing this uncomfortable collar and all of this. And so it is a symbol of my belief in Jesus and a part of my identity. Yet as we all carry many ideas, I do not know if it is the primal part, if it is the first defining part of my identity. And I do wonder, and maybe at times doubt, if I could always put Jesus in front of my family. What would that even look like today? Wrestling with these questions this week brought back memories from my late 20s. I was in what would be a 5-year relationship, interfaith, with an Egyptian Muslim. Our relationship caused me to question and articulate my personal theology and my sacred stories to a level I had never experienced before. In the ordinary moments of every day, I had to reevaluate all of my beliefs, struggle with doubt, cast off what wasn't truth and keep what was. At its best, This sharing was rich and life-giving. I was sharing all of my sacred stories, biblical and personal, with someone grounded in a different culture and religious tradition, and that can be amazing. I also had to learn to listen deeply to other perspectives while identifying and celebrating both the similarities and the differences. At its worst, it left me exhausted. We struggled for many years, as often interfaith couples do, with the question of how to raise our hoped for children with faith. At times, I felt anger toward God at what I believed was a situation in which I had to choose love or God. Despite our efforts, despite our conversations and our learning, the questions were never answered in a way that we both could live with. I finally realized that although I deeply respected his faith, and still do today, I could raise my children between two faiths. As a follower of Jesus, personal choice is central to my everyday faith. I believe that we all need to choose every day, even when it's hard, to follow Jesus and to live our faith in the world. My children needed to have that choice, as my parents gave me as a child, and I still have today. He too respected my beliefs and believed that we could raise both children between faiths, but that they would be Muslim and it would not be a choice. We respected each other's perspective, and as painful as it was, we both walked away from our relationship because of our core understanding of who we were as God's followers. Here's the thing with this example, though. Jesus as my main priority was not clear when I was in the middle of the pain and the confusion. At times, I did not know if I had enough to cover the cost of following Jesus. And this is where the faith, hope, and love of God that we hear about in the rest of our Bible comes in. Fortunately, following Jesus is not always in conflict with our other allegiances. However, some days it will be. Today's gospel is a guiding story, a hyperbole for most and very familiar for some. For all, it means that at times we will be required to reassess and reorder personal priorities that might normally take first place. Jesus was not promised an easy journey following him. Living life means that sometimes loyalties will compete and need to be sorted out according to a guiding principle. And thank goodness that Jesus, the incarnation of God here on earth, of unconditional love, compassion, and mercy. Jesus did not promise an easy journey. He did promise that unconditional love and resurrection. The good news is that following Jesus through the highs, the lows, and the in-between of every day is also about that promise. This week, I invite you to hear Luke's words as they sink in, to wrestle like Jacob did, and to allow the potential of holy change in your life.